Now here's a view by Isaac Bailey. Learning about lynching helped heal my wounds. It took me a long time before I realized that my family's struggles had not simply materialized out of thin air, that although we had rightly never made excuses about our faults, they weren't evidence of ugliness running through our veins. My father beat my mother. My maternal grandfather beat my maternal grandmother. Moochie, my hero big brother, murdered a man. My youngest brother, Jordan, is serving 20 years in a federal prison. A nephew, who was raised like a brother, is in the middle of a 25-year sentence in a state facility. Another brother is serving 16 years. I know now that a sense of shame convinced us, as black people do, to not speak too loudly about our struggles, only to fuel a cycle of violence that led to more shame. You can't cure a disease you refuse to acknowledge. As I prepared to visit the National Memorial for Peace and Justice and the Legacy Museum, both of which open to the public on April 26th and honor victims of lynching, I had a reaction I had not anticipated, a rage at the unbroken chain that connects slavery to my own life. Before I read Mary Turner's story in Patrick Phillips' Blood at the Root, A Racial Cleansing in America, I didn't know they had lynched us and taught us to hate ourselves for not being able to perfectly navigate a terrorized land soaked in slave blood. In 1918, Georgia, Turner was hung from a tree by her ankles, doused with gasoline, set afire. Her eight-month-old fetus was cut from her belly and stomped upon. She was lynched because she demanded justice for her husband, who himself had just been lynched. Countless others died like this because they dared to try to vote and organize black laborers or were deemed uppity in their attempts to exercise their rights. Many black men hung from trees after being falsely accused of raping white women or for merely speaking to or glancing at them in a way that white men deemed inappropriate. A twisted hallucination born of hate became a justification for murder. The rules between right and wrong were always morphing, intentionally elusive. To survive, we told ourselves that talking right or walking right or beating our kids enough to keep them in line would convince white people that we, too, were American, worthy, beautiful. But we were mistaken. So the shame grew, and we swallowed it.